and it seems like there's not enough time. I think we're all confronted with time. Isn't that true? You know, whether we like it, whether we don't, whatever the case, we all have to deal with time. God created it. He made it. And it was funny this week because Michaela said she didn't like math. And she says, I don't like, and then she said on top of it, she says, man, whoever invented math? So we have to go all the way back to creation when we look at it from that perspective. Sometimes when we look at time, we may think somewhat of the same thing. I've always been fascinated by time. if to study time, to look into time, just history of time, the works of clocks, and how people have kept track of time. And, you know, time has always been interesting. I think I could just spend hours just studying and researching time. It's a lot of fun. But, and also too, my watch, by the way, is by the second. If it's not accurate by the second, then I pull that little switch out and wait for that extra minute just so I'm on the second. So, I don't know, I'm kind of addicted to having my watch set to the appropriate time, my computer set to the appropriate time, and I'm not so much worried about when we have our time change, that hour forward or back. But as I was growing up as a kid, or since growing up and living at home with my father, he always set that time back an hour or forward an hour, 3 days in advance, just so he wouldn't have to worry about it. And so I think maybe I got a little bit of that from him. And it's kind of funny, even when we talk on the phone today, he's always asking me, did you set your clock forward? Did you set it back? I said, Dad, it's not even the weekend yet. Just give me some time, you know. But my mom drives her crazy because the clocks are already set and she's hurrying to get, or she's late or whatever, and she's, oh, he set the clocks back or forward again. But time, it's an interesting thing. Think about eternity and all that time we're going to have and so forth. But time has been given to us as a gift from God, I believe. How many of you don't have enough time in your day? Any of you ever look at life like that? I just don't have enough time in the day. And you wish somehow that you can set the clocks back or forward or stop time just for a moment so that you can get caught up in your day. When I was a boy, 9 or 10, I used to be fascinated with those TV programs, you know, those guys that could stop time and do all those things while time was stopped. And everything froze still. You know, and then they would go about doing their dastardly deeds and so forth. Sometimes I wish I could do that in my life today. You know, our schedules are piled up. We have so much to do, so much to accomplish in one day, just not enough time. Well, as we just read here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I'm not even going to read the rest because you guys know it. But I wanted to utilize this verse today for you to recognize and to see that time is something that God has given us, and there's a reason and a purpose for everything we do, and God has appropriated time to be used in His fashion and His manner. Now, I want to read you something here. This last week, I was confronted with, again, that same challenge that I hear from many people, and that is, I don't feel the presence of God in my life. Or, I never really hear God's voice speaking to me. Or, I just feel like God has been separated from me. Or, I don't feel close to God like I used to. Any of you experienced that in your life? Maybe you're going through that experience now. But I come across it quite often when I'm Bible studying or spending time with people. And this is one of many times their great concern. I don't feel close to God. And by the way, I have to commend most of you. I see a shift of where people are sitting today. I'm confused now, so I don't know where to look. But anyways, but I talk to people, and this is one of their greatest concerns. You know, I don't feel close to God. I don't experience God. I don't see God. I haven't touched it. Why doesn't God speak to me? And things like that. And many times I say, what do you want? A bolt of lightning to hit you in the forehead that God cares about you? I mean, look around you. Isn't it the steps of Christ that tells us that every blade of grass is an evidence of God's love for you? You know, we don't need a lot to show how much God cares for us. He loves us. He has given to us by the sunshine. He's given it to us by the trees. He has given it to us for the food for our belly and so forth. God has given us much evidence that He cares and loves us. Amen? Now, many times, and probably for the matter, most, if not all the time, the reason that we don't feel the closeness or the talk or the walk with God, it's our fault. Thank you. It's our fault. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. And this week I was reading the book Maranatha, the devotional, April 27th. And I came across this, and this is what inclined my desire to talk about time. Time marches on whether we like it or not. Before I read that, how many of you have looked back over the years and say, boy, time sure has gone quickly, right? Where did all that time go? And then sometimes, or if not, most of us, we look back and say, boy, if I would have done things different, if I just had more time, or if I could have done things differently, right? Time, 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 okay? But notice this. I want to read this quote to you. I found it powerful for us today living in a fast-paced society. Many, even in their season of devotion, sketch that, many, even in the season of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. Isn't what that devotion time is all about? Setting aside some time for God? To experience God, to communicate with God. But she says, many, even in their season of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing or the real blessing or communion with God. Many do. And I would have to say that probably a majority of you sitting in this congregation fit this category. And here she gives why. They are in too great haste. They're in a hurry. They're too busy. They have a schedule and a demand that they got to meet in that day, and they got to get going with their day. And notice what she says. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence. They press through the circle of Christ's loving presence. They're in a hurry. It's kind of like this. Say this was the time in which God, this pulpit represents time with God. It goes like something like this. You come into your day, you walk by, Lord, please bless me through the day, please help me, and then you go on. And yet God's standing here waiting, wanting to communicate with you. This is the time frame. The more time you spend in it, the greater blessing you will receive from God and experiencing Christ's loving presence, she says. How can we expect with hurried steps passing through God's or Christ's loving circle to experience Christ's presence? How can we experience that if we're so hurried, fast-paced, trying to get through, finish things off? Friends, you will never experience Christ's presence by rushing through that circle. And then she goes on to say, pausing perhaps a moment with the sacred. Now let me start over. They are too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. In other words, we give it all to God. We lay it out before Him. Lord, take away this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Blah, blah, blah. Amen. And we're on our way. We don't allow God to communicate to us. It's hard for us to stop and to listen and to be patient as we hear the voice of God maybe communicating to us. Notice this. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. They don't have time. That's the bottom line. We don't have time to remain in the precincts of God's circle to experience His love or to experience Him as a divine teacher. Why? Because we're such in a hurry. With their burdens, they return to work. What they took in, they take out with them, and they don't receive the uplifting from removing those burdens in their lives. Did you catch all that? Any of you have the book Maranatha? April 27th, I want to encourage you to read it. Notice again, I'm going to read it over one more time. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for the counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. Boy, oh boy. How can we ever expect to grow in Christian character when we go by so hurriedly in the presence of God? Now, here's another book. I found Sorry if you don't mind if I give you quotes today, but they're powerful quotes. Christ object lessons. On the chapter of talents, there is also one of the talents of time. It goes like this. Every moment is His. We are under the utmost or the most solemn obligation to improve it to His glory. Every moment, every time, every second that goes by belongs to God, and it's up to us to improve that moment that belongs to God. Amen? Of no talent He has given will He require more strict account than our time. In other words, we're held accountable for the time in which we use. Notice this. We have no time to waste, no time to devote to selfish pleasure. Now, don't get her wrong. She's not talking about that you cannot have enjoyment in this life, but selfish pursuits that take up so much of your time that it deters or distracts away from your devotion to God. It is now that we are to form characters for the future immortal life. It is now that we are to prepare for the searching judgment. Now, this is where she goes on. Time squandered can never be recovered. Did you catch that? Time squandered can never be recovered. Every second that goes by can never be recovered again. Time is lost, it's gone forever. How do we use our time in our society in which we live? The only way in which we can redeem our time is by making the most of that which remains. In Him who does this, a transformation of character takes place. How many of you want a transformation of character? How many of you want your hearts transformed, your life renewed? Well, friends, the only way that can take place is by spending time with God. It's the only way. It's the only way. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Mark chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Mark chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. I want you guys to be awake on this today. Don't fall asleep on me. All right. Mark chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Now, the Pharisees, I know these verses. I have them written down here, but I better turn to them just so I'm on the same page here with you. But okay, Mark chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. It says this. Well, let's look at verse 18. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they came and said unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples, they don't fast not? They fast not. Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Verse 20, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. What is fasting? Fasting is not allowing food to enter into the body for a season. Now, you've seen this all through Scripture. Okay, many times if one was convicted of sin or if they have separated themselves from God, they put themselves in sackcloth and ashes, and it says they fasted. The purpose and the reason for fasting is when one feels a separation between themselves and God, that is the time to fast. In other words, what Christ in the example of the Scripture is telling us, just as important is it for you to take food in the body to survive, just as important is for you to connect yourself with God. As the Bible says, man cannot live on bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the Scripture is encouraging us to recognize just important as our daily food is to the well-being of our health, so is the spiritual food to our spiritual life. If we are not taking in the bread of life, if we are not taking in Christ, we will die spiritually and eventually lose out on eternal life. And who wants to compromise that? Now, It's interesting. I was at Taco Bell just this last week, and I do like their seven-layer burritos on occasion. Okay, maybe more than once, but they're pretty good. And I noticed that on their little sign, as I was passing through the drive-thru, it said the fourth meal of the day, which is at 2 a.m. in the morning. Come by for your fourth meal. You know, how many meals a day do we need to eat? It used to be two meals. Now it's three. Now it's four. Boy, and some of us eat around the clock. You know, it's important for us to take food in, but it's just as important to take spiritual food in. We eat three times a day, morning, noon, evening. And what Christ is saying, just as important it is to take those 3 hours of the day for break, for the physical food, so as important as David said, I pray morning, noon, and night. I pray three times a day. Just as we eat three times a day, it's important to take in spiritual food three times a day. Friends, if you want your character transformed and renewed, you must take in the spiritual life, which is Christ. And so if you have felt this separation between you and God and how many times I have come in contact with people, I don't feel God. And the first question I ask, have you had devotion with your Savior this week? Why, no. Have you read your Bible this week? No. Have you had prayer time this week? No, that's your problem. You can't experience God and be in a hurry at the same time. You can't experience Him by not doing the things that draw us close to Him. You can't expect God to bless you when you're in such a hurried haste all the time. Friends, you got to take it in. Now notice what she said here again. Pausing perhaps for a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for the council. In other words, we come in, we give it to God, but we don't wait for instruction back. How are we going to handle the cares and the burdens of this life? How are we going to care for the sins and how are we going to get rid of them unless we receive instruction and counsel from God? Many of us are so warped and trapped in the sin cycle. We do it, we ask forgiveness, we confess, and then we do it all over again. Why? Many times because we're not looking or asking for the door out. We're expecting God to do some miraculous miracle and some heightened event when, friends, we don't even spend time with God. I want to give you a challenge this week. My challenge is this. If you feel a separation from God, take time to fast and pray. But I want to give you another challenge that may be even harder, and I don't know the state of each person's home, but I want to encourage you for 1 week to turn off the TV. We can spend 3, 4, 6, 99 hours a day watching TV, but 1 half hour, 10 seconds praying to God. The internet. We can spend 90 hours on the internet, but we can spend 1 hour for the whole week talking or communing to God. What's the problem? How come I'm not growing spiritually? How come I'm not growing spiritually minded? Because the darn TV's getting in the way. Amen? Thank you. I like that bumper sticker. I want to get one for myself. It says, kill your television set. You ever seen that bumper sticker? I think it's kind of cool. Now they need one, kill your computer. You know, that shouldn't be too hard for us to do, but anyways. We don't grow spiritually because we let the media try to help us out. And trust me, friends, you can watch 3AB until the day Jesus comes and never crack the Bible, and you're still going to be lost. Gleaning scraps are not going to save you, amen? And sometimes I wonder if these devotions that we have and we hand out every year aren't a curse either. We read that one passage of Scripture, it takes us 3 minutes to read through that column or those three paragraphs, and we pray and we call it quits for the day and say, man, we've been fed. Right? Friends, isn't Steps of Christ, I can't remember, but Steps of Christ, it tells us the Bible is the audible voice. Is that Steps of Christ? The audible voice of God. You want to hear God's voice? Read His Word. Spend time in it. Study it. But I want to challenge us this week. And I want those purposed in their hearts to turn that TV off, to unplug it, to set it out on the street corner and put a big free sign on it, whatever you have to do to take a break from the TV and use that time to devote it to God. Even the radio. Turn the radio off. You know, we never sit in quiet time. Something's always got to be going. Now, granted, there are good stuff, there's good Christian quality, but why? You know, take time to be silent and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Jesus went on to say, "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days." Are you feeling a separation from God? Do you feel a lack? Do you feel that drive isn't there anymore? Then my suggestion, encouragement, would be some time for fasting and prayer. Next, Jeremiah chapter 29, if you will turn there with me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 14. I'm sure you're familiar with these verses, but it says this. Jeremiah 29, 12, it says, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." What a wonderful promise is that God says, when you call upon me, you shall go and pray, and you will find me, and I will hearken to you. I will listen to you. What a promise! That God will bless us, that God will hear us when we call upon Him. But can we expect God to bless us when we hurry through the circle of Christ's divine love in which He wants to give us a blessing? No! When we search for Him, as the next verse says in 13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your what? With all your heart." That means that you have to set time aside for God. That means you have to set time aside for Christ. That means you have to put things aside so that you can search for Him with all your heart. And when we spend 10 minutes in devotion and 6 hours on the TV, friends, that is not searching God with all your heart. "When you shall search for me with all your heart." So in other words, he says, when you devote yourself to me and finding me and seeking me, you shall be blessed and I will be found of you. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 14, "And I will be found of you." What a promise! When we search for God, when we seek Him, the promise is, "I will be found of you." But who has to do the seeking? Who does? Me, you, we're the ones that have to search. We're the ones that have to seek God. Why? Because God has always been there. His arms are always open to us. God isn't hiding or playing hide and go seek with you. No, God is there. Why? God, we have to search our hearts sometimes and find out what is in the way. What is causing the distraction? What is getting in between me and God? What is it? When we seek God, God reveals to us. And when He reveals to us, He shows us our error. We confess, we forgive, and God opens the door to us. It's not God, it's us. So last week we had a pretty harsh sermon about our communication and our dedication of our words in which we speak. But friends, we can make the transformation and change all these things, but without Christ at the center of our hearts, what is the point? God goes on to say in 29:14, "I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again until the places where I cause you to be carried away captive." In other words, we may have been scattered because of our sins and been separated from God, but God says He will gather us back and He will clean us up and we will be blessed by having His presence with us once again. Amen? And Revelation chapter 2 goes on to say something in this illustration. "Remember your former place from where you have fallen and go back and do those first things." In other words, that time that you had that great high experience with God, what was it that you were doing? Go back and do those first things. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. Why? Because they are in too great of haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment, just a moment, within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for the council. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. The answer is all wrapped up in this paragraph. If you want to be transformed, If you want a renewed character, then spend time with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to work. Jesus says again, "Come unto me, all you that what? Labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what that rest is? You know what it is, really? It's a freedom from sin. It's just not a freedom for peace in the life. Yes, God says He will give us peace, but the freedom is finding rest so that we don't have to toil with sin and temptation. But the only way we can accomplish that is being yoked with Christ. That's the only way. And many of us wonder why we are caught in this forgiveness and sin, forgiveness and sin, sin and ask forgiveness, sin and ask forgiveness and cleansing and all that. And then we come right back to it because we don't spend time with the Savior. Because we make something else our priority. My challenge to you this week, and I wonder if there would be some show of hands today who would be willing to shut the TV off for a week, even 3 a.m. I wonder if there's some of you who would be willing to shut the radio off, even from that good Christian music, and just take quiet time with God. And let us see what God can do for us, for those who dedicate in purpose and heart. Spend that quiet time with devotion to God. Maybe some of you would like to fast. I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, and that's between you and God. It's personal. But maybe you'd like to fast and pray. Skip a meal here and there and devote your time to God. The reason I'm not going to do it is kind of funny. When I was back in college, our college made an appeal that we would fast all day one Sabbath. So all the students, guess what they did on Friday afternoon? They piled it on because there was no food for the next day. And I can imagine us probably going out and buying a case of empty cassette tape so we can go home and record our favorite programs while we're fasting from the TV. Let's be careful, friends. You know, God wants to bestow upon you His greatest blessings, His love. But I wonder, in the busyness of life, we have put too much in our schedule for the day that we have not scheduled enough time for Jesus. Maybe the media has gotten in the way of our walk with Christ. Maybe the Doug Batchelors and the Danny Sheltons have gotten in the way of Christ. We look to them for our spiritual food when we ourselves don't search. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're bad or anything, right? But friends, we cannot continue to glean at the harvest when God has given us a table that is full of food. Jesus wants to bless you. And I wonder if there's any of you this week who would like to lay your sins at the Savior's feet. I know, just like I mean, my personal life, there are things that I want to get rid of, and it seemed to keep creeping back in my life. Maybe you want to sacrifice or surrender those at the feet of Jesus today. And throughout this week, claim the victories and praise Him for the victories that He's given you over that sin or that temptation or that burden. Let Him have it so you can have that peace in your life. Draw close to God. And He will draw close to you. Gracious Redeemer, we thank You for Your love that You have given to each of us. We thank You that You continue to love us despite our sins and our failures. Help us today, I pray, Lord, in conviction of heart and in spirit of mind, to lay down here today our sins and our burdens that, Lord, are separating us from You. Forgive us, I pray, of those great sins. Forgive us of those little sins. Forgive us of sin completely. Wash us thoroughly and make us whole in Your sight. And as we commit to this commitment that we have risen our hands of turning off the TV and the radio, let us devote our minds to You this week to draw into a closer walk with You, to seek You with all our hearts. And the promise is, Lord, that You will be found of us. I pray, Lord, for Your revelation in our lives. That You would help us to see, open our eyes to see You, that we may experience You, so that we can get a glimpse of heaven. Strengthen us as we come back to this planet, so to speak, that we may be a witness and a blessing to those around us.
Forgive us, Lord, from where we have turned our backs on you. Forgive us of our backslidings and draw us close to you once again. I ask all this in your name, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.